I feel so lucky to have been Lucy. You know, when I think about The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe, I think, you know, what a mammoth task in terms of taking this beloved book that so many people have their ideas with. They want it to be the best it can be. And you have Andrew Adamson, who's kind of trying to satisfy all those people. And I think you just can't please everybody, and that's okay.
Welcome to Talking Beasts
from NarniaWeb.com,
where we explore the world of C.S. Lewis
and keep a watchful eye
on the latest Narnia movie news.
This is Talking Beasts.
Hello, welcome back to Talking Beasts, the Narnia podcast on NarniaWeb.com. I'm Brian Carnell, also known as Glumpuddle, and today we have a special guest. On the phone I have Georgie Henley, who of course played Queen Lucy the Valiant in the Chronicles of Narnia movies. Georgie, welcome and thanks for being on the show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Great to hear from you. How's quarantine treating you?
It's definitely a lot to get used to, but I haven't gone too crazy yet, so that's good.
Not yet, at least. Okay.
Not yet. Yeah, there's still time.
Yeah, you're still in the eating watermelon and celery on Instagram phase.
Yes. Oh my goodness.
Thanks for doing this broadcast on Instagram. I think people in quarantine have really enjoyed it.
Oh, the thing is that I feel like I'm so bad at just kind of sitting there and answering questions. So I was like, what can I do which is a bit more active? And then I was like, okay, I'm gonna read some poetry, and then okay, I'm gonna eat some watermelon. That's what we're gonna do today.
That's a healthy thing to do, and we all got to keep healthy right now.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Georgie, believe it or not, 2020 marks 15 years since The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe movie came out.
Oh, my goodness.
When I say that, how does that sound to you? Does it feel like 15 years to you?
It's so funny because it feels like so long ago, but then also like no time at all has passed. I was actually going through one of the things I've been doing in quarantine is I've like been like having a clear out and like going through all my old like photos and like memory boxes and stuff like that. And it's so insane to like look at pictures from that time. And it really doesn't feel like I can remember everything. Like everything feels like it happened yesterday, but wow, also like so long ago. It's both things, but wow, like such a long time ago. And also, I mean, 2020, I every time I have to write the date, like on a form or something, I always write that it's 2012. So I feel like this is like a big deal to me anyway. I was like 8 years behind. But yeah, it's such a long time ago. It's crazy, crazy, crazy.
Yeah, Disney just sent me a screener of the Prop Culture Narnia episode.
And oh my goodness!
Yeah, it was really fun to see you guys reacting to the props and costumes.
Oh, that was such an amazing day. I think it was, I don't think any of us were prepared for how emotional it was going to be. It was really emotional, and I haven't seen the show, so I don't know like what they. I'm jealous. You've seen it before me. I haven't seen it, but we had such a great day, and it's so interesting that once you start talking about something, you remember things that you didn't think you had remembered. And obviously, I was so little when we were filming, and so, you know, even though I do have like a pretty good memory, you know, I'm still like eight or 9 years old. So it's kind of, it's blurry in some parts, but doing the show was just such an amazing day and so like crazy to, I mean, Dan, who is the host, just so amazing that he is so passionate. And well, I guess it's the same as like as Narnia Web, as you guys, it's someone who is so invested and passionate about, you know, about movies and in the same way that you guys are about the books. And it was so great that he was able to share that with us. I mean, it was, yeah, it was awesome.
Can't wait for you to see it. It's a fun walk down memory lane.
Oh, I'm so excited.
It came together really well. 15 years, and you definitely haven't been, well, I guess it's been 10 years since you last
got to play Lucy, and you certainly haven't been idle since then. You've continued to act as well as some writing and directing. Which of your projects would you say you're the most proud of? And what kinds of projects tend to excite you as an artist?
Well, that's a good question. It's tough. I really, whenever I choose a project, I can genuinely say that I've never been part of something that I really don't like believe in terms of, you know, I really feel that it has a story or a purpose that I'm invested in or that I, you know, like love my character. But in terms of like being proud of, I mean, I feel so lucky to have been Lucy. Like that is, and it's so interesting while I've been, you know, like while we've all been in lockdown, the amount of people who've messaged me saying that they've like been watching Narnia as like a comfort movie or like an escapist like experience through all this, it just makes me feel so lucky to be that for people. That's amazing. And then I guess like more recently, I was in a movie when I was 17 called The Sisterhood of Night, and I feel like it's one of those movies where the message of it in terms of like believing girls and looking at our relationship with social media and all those kinds of things, I feel like it's one of the things where the more time goes by, the more the message develops and the more kind of ideas kind of come and I feel like it takes on a new meaning. And it's really interesting because I've had people messaging me being like, I can't believe that movie wasn't made last year, if you know what I mean, like in terms of all the like things that it's talking about. And so yeah, I don't know, this is a very convoluted answer because it's a really good question. But yeah, pretty much I wish I could give you like a good soundbitey answer, but the truth is I'm really lucky. I really believe in everything that I've been involved in, and I'm really proud of it. And also like I genuinely, every time I get a job and every time that someone kind of lets me be a part of their story, I'm always like, holy moly, thank you so much. Like that's insane. Like, what, me? Okay. Oh, cool.
And you've also been showcasing your passion about poetry lately in those live Instagram broadcasts you've been doing.
Yeah.
Could you talk a little bit about that, your interest in poetry and kind of how that got started?
Yeah, so I studied English at uni and at university. And before I went to university, I wouldn't say that I, like, obviously there's so many different parts to English, like, as a degree. And I was definitely going more with a... like focus on like novels or like nonfiction. And I guess I just got so into poetry when I was there, and I ended up doing 2 out of my 3 dissertations on poetry. And then when a couple of years after I left uni, I started writing my own poetry and doing performing and doing spoken word performances. And it's kind of been a really kind of private thing for me, so, and I've only just recently started sharing my own stuff, very, you know. And but in terms of, you know, what poetry can do, I feel like so many people feel a little bit excluded by it because they feel like it's very academic or something that they can't connect with. And I feel like, you know, that a lot of the time comes from how we teach it in schools. But I think that so many people, if they just kind of sit and listen, will be amazed at how much they can connect with it. And especially on even like a physical level, like if a poem speaks to me, like I can feel it in my stomach or, you know, just like just sitting in my chest, or it can really have that effect on me. And I think particularly at the moment, I just thought, what can I do? I feel so powerless. There's nothing I can do. And I feel ridiculous that I'm just sat in my flat. And I just thought, okay, I'll read some poems. poems I love. Oh my goodness, so many. Well, I think that actually, so the person who I did my final year dissertation on, so I read from her a little bit. I read from her in my first live and also in my second live, and that's Kate Tempest. And what I think makes her so accessible is that she's an amazing spoken word artist. She actually also does rap as well. And she writes in a rhythm which, when you kind of read it or speak it, it does something to your heartbeat. It does something to your body. I love her collection, Hold Your Own, which is what I've been reading from. It's like once I get going talking about poetry, like that's that. So yeah, Kate Tempest and Barry Oliver.
That's awesome. I really, really appreciate your passion. Thanks for sharing. So you portrayed a historical figure in The Spanish Princess.
Yeah.
And of course a beloved literary character in Narnia.
Yeah.
And so I'm always curious, how does that affect your approach as an actress when you know there are certain expectations or knowing that your performance is going to be compared to something that people already have in their heads? Does that knowledge inform your performance at all?
Luckily with Narnia, because I was so young, and I wasn't really thinking about that, which is a good thing. I think if I got the role of Lucy like now, obviously I wouldn't because she's a child, but then I would definitely be much more worried about that. I think that people, you know, I'm the same. I'm very passionate about literature, and obviously you bring your own expectations and everybody imagines the characters in a different way. I think it all comes with trusting your director. Like if your director has a brilliant vision and they really understand the text, the source material, and they really, you know, kind of can do that singular way of satisfying a lot of people, but also, you know, bringing their own ideas to it. And I think that's the way. I mean, I think that so much with, you know, when I think about The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe, I think, you know, what a mammoth task in terms of taking this beloved book that so many people have their ideas with, and they want it to be the best it can be. And you have Andrew Adamson, who's kind of trying to satisfy all those people. And I think he did an amazing job, but there's always going to be someone who would want to change things. And you just can't please everybody, and that's okay. When it comes to Spanish Princess, I'm not going to annoy anybody who I'm playing because they're all long dead. So that's a good thing.
Right.
So I'm not going to get like a call from like somebody's aunt being like, she wasn't like that at all. Spanish Princess is kind of, it's really fun as well because they're based on these historical books, but they are also obviously, you know, just history. And there's been a few times with my character in the new series that we just finished filming, where I've kind of gone up to the writers and I've been like, this didn't really happen. Like you've pepped this up a little bit, haven't you? Like you've made this up. And they're like, nope, this happened. Yes, it's crazy.
Wow.
But it totally happened. So yeah, that's been really fun. That's been
stranger than
fun.
Fiction. Wow. So you were saying you weren't really aware of any sense of pressure while filming Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, but did you have the knowledge that, oh, this is a popular series and people are going to be excited to see, they're going to be excited to see Lucy on the big screen? Did you have an awareness of that at all?
Yeah, I think like I'd read all of the series by that point, but I'd read Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe, and we'd also even studied it at school, like in my class. It had been the class reading book where, you know, the teacher sits and we all sit around. And so I was very aware. I mean, when I first was auditioning, I thought I was auditioning for like a pantomime in Bradford near where I live. I didn't know it was a film until like 6 months in. They did such a good job at hiding it. I think I definitely knew, I guess it was part of it was like the far awayness, like the huge distance of going to New Zealand. It almost felt like this massive leap in at the beginning of the journey. And I remember me and my mum getting on the plane and saying goodbye to my dad, which was so hard, and kind of looking at each other and just being like, okay, we're really doing this. This is really huge. Okay, let's do it. But if I'm honest, you know, we were so protected when we were filming that it's almost like when I think about, you know, the premiere of the first movie and, you know, nothing prepares you for seeing yourself on a big screen for the first time. It truly is the craziest thing. I think we were just really, really protected, all four of us. And that was a really good thing, because hopefully it meant that we weren't, you know, we were just thinking about the work and you know, doing good acting.
Yeah.
My dad, because I hadn't read the whole series, and I got given Perry Moore, our executive producer. He gave me a full set, a beautifully bound set of all the Narnia books when I started filming, which is so sweet. And when I came back, obviously I hadn't seen my dad, and, you know, I'd been used to not seeing my dad. And so we made a habit of most nights, as much as possible, because obviously he was working or whatever, but as much as possible, we would read a chapter of Narnia from one of the books in bed at night. And we went from, I think we did The Silver Chair, then we did The Last Battle, and then we went back to The Magician's Nephew. And I still remember that time. It's so special to me, and just having that time with my dad before bed, and then getting tucked up, and then dreaming kind of Narnia dreams and fantasy dreams, and your brain right. just, you know, going crazy in bed. It's so nice.
That's a great story. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Yeah.
So you mentioned director Andrew Adamson a few times. You worked with him on The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and Prince Caspian. And then The Voyage of the Dawn Treader was directed by Michael Apted. How would you compare their styles to directing actors, especially now that you've had another decade of your own acting and, you know, some of your own directing experience? How would you compare and contrast Andrew Adamson and Michael Apted?
Yeah, that's such a good question. I feel like it's funny because I feel like Michael, obviously, you know, he was coming into something which was so already, like, you know, so established already. And even on Dawn Treader, we had so many crew, you know, come back over the years. People had turned down other jobs in order to do the Narnia films because they loved being part of them so much. So people in the costume department, makeup department, prosthetics department. So it really was like this established family. And Michael was just incredible at coming in and being true to himself. And I think the biggest difference was that Andrew likes a lot of takes, like a lot. So Andrew kind of knows what he wants to begin with. And then he wants to make sure that when he gets into the edit, he's got other options to play around with. So he kind of gets what he wants. And then he'll say, okay, let's play a little bit. And let's be like, let's try it like this. Let's try it like that. Let's try it like that. So we could be doing, I hesitate to say how many takes we could do sometimes. I mean, it was a lot. and the funny thing is that I thought that was the norm. You know, I got used to doing that many takes. Michael, if it's more than three takes, there's a problem.
Hmm.
He kind of knows exactly what he wants, and he explains it to you beforehand, and you talk a lot beforehand about exactly, you know, how the two of you want to approach it. And then, yeah, pretty much three takes. Oh, another thing is that Andrew likes to watch at the monitor. So he watches at the monitor with, I guess, you know, a lot of the time we would be operating with three cameras. So he's looking at the three cameras. Michael would stand like a meter away from you.
Interesting.
So he would be looking at what would be happening in real life. And he would be like watching your face or someone else's face, like just happening. And then he would go back and watch it on the monitor. Which was actually kind of crazy to get used to, but you just get used to it. It's kind of like, I mean, if you can get used to know, pretending that tennis balls are big lions, you can get used to kind
do anything.
Like a director standing a little way away
from you. And that's a good segue into a question we got from one of our patrons, actually.
Oh, cool.
To become a patron, go to patreon.com/NarniWeb. Darby asks, how has your approach to acting changed as you've grown into different phases of your life?
Yeah, it really was insane. And like, I mean, everything I know about acting kind of came from just doing it. Like I, you know, I'm sure everybody knows this story, but when I got on the camera for the first time on the first day of filming Lion, Witch, and Wardrobe, like I looked straight into the camera. That was the first thing I did when we started acting, because I didn't realize you couldn't look into the camera. And I started crying about 2 hours in to my mom. And I said, like, you know, they keep moving the camera around because I'm messing up. So they keep moving it around. And Andrew had to like explain to me how shots worked and takes and all those things, because I was just so, I had no idea. I think, do you know what? It's quite interesting. I think that, the most interesting thing about that question, and I think that when you're acting at different ages, like sometimes you can't help but like your life takes over a little bit, in the sense of, if like I've definitely struggled with my confidence as I've gotten older. And so if you believe in yourself less, like so much of acting is just kind of faking it until you make it. And if you're like not really believing in yourself or not being confident, then that can be really difficult. And I've definitely, I actually think with Dawn Treader a little bit, I feel like, because of some of the storylines that I had to do, and that's not me criticizing the writers at all, because I think they made a great movie. But I think in terms of Lucy's arc in particular, I think that like, it was a little bit difficult to be like 14 years old and you're kind of uncomfortable in your own skin. And then suddenly somebody says like, oh yeah, you want to be as pretty as your sister. And it's like, oh, well, I didn't realize that, I don't know, like that was difficult to play. And I can kind of see that the difficulty in me kind of getting my head around certain storylines in my arc meant that I was more, I was like less natural in my acting, and maybe like what I was like how that was playing out on a day-to-day basis. But I can kind of say that now. I can kind of look at it now and be like, I see that. I don't know. It's a tricky question. I guess like I mean, if I'm honest, I have no idea what I'm doing the whole time, and I just try my best. And I think what I always am trying to do is like is think about what I was doing when I was 8 years old, when I wasn't worried about anything, and I was just doing what I was told and asking the questions that needed to be asked, and then just doing it and not worrying about how I looked. And like, so often you watch actors on screen, and because they're worried about how they look, they're not really feeling those emotions, because they're worried it's going to do a funny thing to their face. Or like, it's okay if it does a funny thing to your face, because that's what human beings are like. And if you get too precious about all that kind of stuff, then it's not going to end up being a good performance. But you know, I don't know if that answers your question, Darby. I'm so sorry.
I think it does.
I hope it does.
I think it does. Thank you so much for that insight. Would you be willing to commit to which of the Chronicles of Narnia movies is your favorite?
Oh my goodness. Do you know what? I don't know if I can, because I have not watched them recently. And I feel like I would need to watch them, because your opinions change and you don't know. So I feel like I watched the first one with my grandma a little while ago. She used to watch it with my grandpa all the time. And then my grandpa passed away, and she said to me, I've got nobody to watch Narnia with anymore. And I said, okay, I'll watch it with you. And it was, and I absolutely loved it. And I felt like because I was so little, I was able to kind of not feel like I was watching myself anymore, and I was able to actually enjoy it. Oh, I really don't know. My favorite book.
No, that's okay. We can stick with the safe PR answer if you want. That's fine. We can just no pressure here.
My favorite book is Dawn Treader.
Oh, okay.
And my favorite book out of the series is Dawn Treader.
Mine too.
And yeah, I just love it because it's a risky format. It's like it's amazing because you get so many different adventures all in one. It's like a package. It's lovely. I don't know. Purely for me. Okay. Yeah. I'm going to say Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Ooh, you're committing. Going on the record.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going to commit. You know what? Lucy was always steadfast in her beliefs. So I'm going to take a leaf out of Lucy's books and, Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe. There we go. But I don't want to talk about it anymore. That's that. I've got it. I'm committed. There we go.
Okay. Clearly I pushed you too far. So thank you very much for going on the record. I appreciate that. So you were talking about some of the other Narnia books, saying Dawn Treader is your favorite. So I was curious, got a question from a patron, Roger, and he wanted to know, so as you may know, Netflix is developing new Narnia movies.
Yeah.
And Roger wanted to know if you think there's any chance you might be involved in that in some way, possibly as you might be able to play older Lucy, because you're just about the right age to play older Lucy.
Oh my goodness, yeah. Because I think my sister was, because obviously my sister played the older version of me in the first movie, and I think she just turned 18. Mm-hmm. I feel like I look like I'm 12 years old still anyway. I mean, I have like a cool baby face. So no, that's such a good point. Yeah, I would be the perfect age. I feel like they're gonna want to start things with a total clean slate. I feel like that's part mm-hmm. of the best thing about rebooting something is that you get to start from scratch. But I mean, if they asked me and it was the right thing, then, you know, I definitely would be open to it, but I don't think that they would ask me. And I also think that it's almost like, I feel like I would be kind of like the crotchety grandma in the corner being like, well, when we did it, it wasn't like this. We had this and this. So yeah, I don't know. But yeah, I don't know what's happening with those. I mean, I don't know if they're like planning to, I mean, I don't know where they're starting or anything, but I think it's going to be really interesting to see what those look like. I mean, obviously Netflix is kind of the leaders of like our entertainment industry now. So, you know, it's definitely exciting. Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah. And you know, like you said, it's, and we're anticipating they'll probably do a clean slate, but you know, if maybe older Lucy just has a brief appearance at the end of Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, if they were to redo it, it might be fun to get you as a cameo in there. In the Lucy, according to Lewis's timeline, is 23 at that point.
So, oh, right. So literally the perfect age. Okay. All right.
So it might be fun just to get a cameo in there at the end. Might be fun.
Yeah. I would definitely be open to it. And also, I do think that there's like, it's always quite nice to have that. It's always interesting to have that kind of like wink, wink thing of like, oh, look who it is. It's la, 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 la. But also like, we'll see. I don't know.
Well, they'd probably be saying, wow, Rachel Henley looks exactly the same. Looks just like older Lucy in the other movie.
So. It's so funny because like because obviously Rachel turned up on set when we she was visiting, obviously she was visiting me, and it was about 2 months in. And like, I still remember all the producers, like, in a little huddle, just kind of looking over at her and just being like, oh my God, she's so like naughty, and like, she's the perfect age, and just being like this kind of eureka light bulb moment going off. And obviously she was, you know, an actress. She'd just been accepted to drama school. So it was so mm-hmm. funny. I remember that so clearly. It's so funny.
That's awesome. Yeah. Really quick. Got, one last question from a listener,
okay.
Since you're pretty active on social media, and of course you've been doing the Instagram broadcasts, and got one question from Angelica Whitmore, and she has an interesting one. She says, what is the best advice you would give to a young person growing up in this, quote, mad, mad world of social media?
Wow. Yeah, that is a good question. Really important at the moment as well, because I feel like we naturally are spending even more time on our phones than we were before, because, you know, we're all kind of in lockdown. I think the most important thing is, I really don't think that kids who are too young should be on social media. I was very lucky that when I was like at school, there wasn't, like, Instagram wasn't really that popular, and it wasn't a thing that people were, you know, using a lot. And I think it only became like a really big thing when I was maybe in my final year at school. And, you know, like, school's hard enough. Like, you don't need some kind of like app. And, you know, I try to use my social media as much for like a positive, like energy as much as possible. And I would definitely say that Instagram, for example, like, you don't want to be following accounts that are going to make you feel bad about yourself. You want to be following accounts that are going to nourish you, that are going to like make you, you know, happy, or are going to, you know, be exciting for you, like, intellectually, or maybe you like, you know, if you love an actress or an actor or someone like that, then, you know, and if you genuinely can look at their profile and not think, wow, I want their life, my life sucks, you're thinking, wow, this is really great to have, you know, an insight into this person's life. I think that the biggest thing to remember with social media is that people are presenting a very filtered, even if it is unfiltered, even if, you know, people try and do what I do, which is try and present, you know, the good and the bad as much as possible, or not make it too varnished, it still is, by its very definition, a tiny part of people's lives. And you're not getting, like, if I'm posting, you know, about my quarantine life, and it's a picture of like the book I'm reading, then you haven't seen me, like, you know, crying on the phone to my mom because I miss her. And you haven't seen me, like, you know, I don't know, like, not knowing what to do with my day or stuff like that, because I'm not going to put that, I haven't put that on Instagram. But that doesn't mean that I'm not feeling those things. And you don't want to get yourself in the position where you think, like, this person doesn't have anything wrong with their life. They have a great life, and I want their life. Like, everybody struggles. But that would be my biggest kind of thing of advice, would be to just follow, really be, I am so fastidious with the accounts that I follow. And I really try and prune down as much as possible. Like, is every single person that I'm following something that adds to my, like, daily joy? And is it something that either makes me laugh or is, like, kind of, yeah, I guess nourishing is the word that I would use. I really like that word, in terms of, you can't put your finger on it, but it just makes you feel better in some way, rather than going through and scrolling and just looking at people who are going to make you feel bad about yourself because they've used too much Photoshop. Yeah. That would be my kind of very convoluted ideas on social media.
Oh, thanks for that. I really appreciate that perspective. So what do you think's next for you on the horizon here? I'm curious if you've considered writing or directing again.
Yeah. So I mean, at the moment, I obviously we're in lockdown and kind of everything's been on a little bit of a standstill. But at the moment, I am working on a few writing projects, and I'm really, really excited about them. And I finally feel like I'm at a point where I had a long time of not being super confident in my writing, and now I'm at a point where I'm happy to kind of show people and take it to the next level and all that kind of stuff, which is really exciting. I can't wait to be out of lockdown so I can make my next short, which is something that I'm really excited about. And I'm also really excited for the next series of Spanish Princess to be coming out. It was a crazy, it was a crazy shoot. My character has so many children. so we had, like, I was kind of playing a mother for the first time with so many. I think sometimes we would have 9 kids on set at one point, like all under the age of 9, some babies, some toddlers. And that was kind of insane as well, because I would look at these 8-year-olds and I'd be like, oh my goodness, I was as small as you.
Wow,
at
circle.
One point on a film set. But it's a really great series, and I'm really excited about it. And I mean, if anybody liked the first series, it's definitely even more kind of exciting and packed with drama. And yeah, my character just has the most insane time. It's crazy. So I'm excited about that. But it's definitely a scary time for anybody who's involved, like, in our industry, because it's, you know, people's livelihoods are threatened, and it's, you know, when are you going to be able to start work again, and when are you going to be able to be in an environment where everybody is safe? It's a lot of kind of just sitting and waiting at the moment, but, you know, hopefully we'll kind of get to a point soon where we can, you know, everything can start up again. But yeah, it's crazy time. But yeah, I'm really lucky that I can be working on the writing stuff that I'm kind of working on at the moment. And to be honest, a lot of my life anyway, when I'm writing, is kind of just sat in my flat at a laptop. So I mean, it's not too much of a change in that respect. I'm really excited.
Great. And I mean, we have technology today. You don't have to necessarily leave your house to make a short film. Just saying.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. I will make a short film of myself in my flat doing difficult yoga poses, and it will be a masterpiece of cinema.
Perfect. Or if that doesn't work out, we can just stick with the eating fruits and vegetables on Instagram. That works too.
Yes, exactly. Great. It will just be a supercut of me making my way through, like, the fruit family. Like, you thought watermelon was okay. Actually, what did I do last time? Oh, yeah, celery, which I think was too loud and crunchy. I feel like with watermelon, you're still getting that, like, nice hydrated hit, but without the crunch. And you're, like, not, like, being aggressive to people's eardrums. I think watermelon is the way to go.
Great. All right. Well, really appreciate you taking the time to be on the show.
No, thank you so much for having me. And it's really, you know, like, I've been interviewed by Narnia Web a few times. I definitely remember someone came for the Dawn Treaders junket. It's so brilliant that you guys have this incredible community, and it's really awesome that you let me stop by and say hi.
Oh, anytime, Georgie. Anytime you want to just crash the podcast, I'm fine with that.
Okay, yeah, I'll just pop up every now and again and be like, hey.
We love reminiscing about the old days too, so appreciate the walk down memory lane.
Oh no, thank you so much for having me, and I'm sending love to anybody listening, and I hope that everybody is just, I don't know, it's so funny because everybody keeps saying, like, stay safe, and it's like, yeah, no, I'm definitely just going to throw myself in front of a truck now, because, like, it's kind of like stay safe is such a weird thing to say,
right.
But yeah, stay safe, everyone.
You've been listening to Talking Beast, the Narnia podcast from narniaweb.com. We post new episodes on the 7th and 17th of every month, so be sure to subscribe and give us 5 stars on iTunes. Post a comment below or in the Talking Beast Facebook group. visit patreon.com/narniweb to support this podcast and get exclusive content, including early access to episodes. You can also email us at podcast@narniweb.com or glumpuddle@narniweb.com. We'll be back on May 7th. Until then, further up and further in.